молодежь, мы с вами приехали в страну, в которой есть свой язык. Кто-то уже владел английским языком, кто-то только учит. У нас каждый год проходит молодежное общение, но в этом году оно будет отличаться тем, что у нас будет проповедь на английском языке, без перевода. В нашем братстве есть семья из коренного американского народа, и вот один из них — это Дэниел Кларк. Пожалуйста, брат Дэниел, ты будешь служить словом. Друзья, кто не понимает, будем смиряться уже. Пожалуйста, Дэниел.
That's right. Well, it's a great privilege for me to be here together with you. I really appreciate everything that I have learned from you folks, and I appreciate being here. I'm excited about our theme for our youth conference and what I will learn from that. Thank you very much for your example to me, and I'm excited about what this conference is about. In English, our theme verse goes, "Little children, it is the last time." I find it interesting that it starts out with little children. It's addressing it. It's for us. It's for me. It's for you. But yet, it's addressing it as little children. People in this world who are small, who have a lot of faith and trust, and who are led throughout life by their parents and people around them. That's true for you. That's true for me. Because God is somebody who wants to lead each one of us through life as his children for his glory and for the end result of being with him in heaven. So this is a statement. It's a fact. It says, little children, it is the last time. It's telling us that now is the last time, that we're living in the last time. It's obvious if we look around us that it is the last time. I don't think I have to go through and name some of the changes in our world that signifies that it is the last time. Things are getting more chaotic. Even if you ask some of the most worldly scientists, they'll say, yes, the world is getting more and more chaotic as entropy increases. It's something that just happens in our world. And unfortunately, it happens spiritually as well as physically. It is the last time. Dear friends, but what I want to very briefly draw our attention to is another verse in the same book of 1 John, but this time it is the very last verse. The last verse in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Here it also addresses the verse to little children. It says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Once again, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So, first off, we see that it's a statement. It's a fact. It is the last time. That's just the way it is. There's nothing that we can do about it. But then at the end of the book here, it says something for us to do. Something for us, an action on our part, because it is the last time. It says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So I want us to think about this very briefly in the short time we have together. First off, let's look at what is the definition of idol. What is an idol? What is an idol for you and me? Second, how does that affect you and me as youth, as Christian youth, as youth in a church? What does this mean for you and for me? Finally, we will look at how we can keep ourselves from idols in our Christian life. So first off, what do you picture as an idol? If I say idol, what do you think of? For some people, it's a golden statue of somebody. Perhaps it's a wooden image of something. Perhaps it's similar to an icon or something of that sort. And that's all very true. And oftentimes we look at the people who worship these statues and images and immediately see. We look at them and we feel sorry for them that they are giving their life for something that looks so meaningless, so helpless, something that cannot help them at all. Well, it's true. Those things are idols. But yet there are other idols also that can especially affect those of us who are Christian and those of us who are youth in a church. If we look at the very first of the commandments that that God gave to us. The first of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is the very first commandment that God gave to the children of Israel, is that God is supposed to be first, and they are not to have anything that becomes more important than God in the life of the children of Israel. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it copies the same commandment and says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So it's not only applicable to the children of Israel, but it's also applicable to you and me. So friends, anything in our life that starts to replace God, that even creeps in and tries to share that first spot in our life with God, can become an idol in our own life, can be something that we become preoccupied and interested in, that we spend our life for, that replaces God, and that is an idol, and that is what we need to keep ourselves from. Very often, we can look around and we see people who are striving their entire life to become famous, to become rich. You can talk to some people and they're so preoccupied in the stock market and what it is doing, their finances, what they have in the bank. Other people, it's their own personal health, whether they're healthy or whether they're strong. Other people, it can be food that they eat, the clothes that they wear, the car they drive. Any one of these things can replace God and replace that first spot in your life and in my life and become an idol. We have to keep ourselves from that. It can even be wanting to be liked by the people around us. It can be enjoying or having a good time. If you live for that, that can become an idol in your life. Finally, there are two other things that we sometimes see become an idol in people's lives. That is, they sometimes begin to worship themselves, what they've done and what they can do. Then also, we sometimes see, although it's harder from the outside, but sometimes people recognize it internally, that they can actually make an idol out of their service to God. If it's service to God, but with the wrong motives, and that is a driving factor in the person's life, it can replace God, and it can be very dangerous for that person. So how does this affect our Christian youth? Well, unfortunately, especially for those of us who are very active in school, at work, other places, we're constantly being bombarded around us with the world that we live in. And that world that we live in, those values are often contrary or opposite to the values of the Bible and what God wants for you and for me. A lot of times we see people who work for something specific. They give their life for something. But yet if it's not based on the Bible, if it's not biblical, then it never brings true joy or happiness. It ends up being empty. Where I work at the university, I share a building with about three other people who have won the Nobel Prize. It's a very high honor in the world, and a lot of people will spend their entire life working towards this, or some other honor or fame or money. And yet, now that they've gotten old, I can look at them and I can see that they're empty. It didn't bring true joy. Sure, they were happy for a moment, but it does not last. Those sorts of things are things that people pour their lives into, but yet it cannot last. I remember back about 10 years ago when I was living in South America, there was one lady who was a really good example to me. Her name was Marianne, and she was an older lady who would always be very active, always very cheerful. And she would always drive around on her little motorbike, because that's what they had down there, and always helping out with other people. But yet, underneath her joy and her example to those around us, she had a life of sorrow and of pain. She had been married a couple days when her husband died. And then she came down with cancer later on. And yet, throughout her life, she would never, ever show that to anybody else, nothing other than the joy of Jesus Christ throughout living through her. It's interesting to see her example of that fact, that she, although she did not have much in this world, yet she was constantly an encouragement to those around her, constantly serving God, constantly being a true example of the joy that God gives. She will never know, because she died about halfway through my time in Paraguay, of what sort of an example she was for my life. She will never know that, but I am always grateful for her and for her example of God's joy that she was able to show forth to the other people, because God truly was number one in her life and most important to her. All too often, for those of us youth who have grown up in a Christian home, we have become very professional at hiding our idols. From the outside, we very often come to church. We go through motions. We're part of a youth group. We participate. We sing. We play. But yet, oftentimes, we are very good at hiding little things in our own life. Things that are, even if it's not replacing God, it's close and trying to share the place in our heart along with God. We have to be very careful with that, because that is very common for us. And yet, if we let that grow, then that will, those little things, those little idols, will become the ruler of our life instead of Jesus Christ. So this is all applicable to us. And in the Old Testament, oftentimes God reminded the children of Israel that they were not to forget God. Now, I don't think that it was necessarily referring to the fact that they were not to forget the name of God. I think the children of Israel always remembered the name of God. But what I think was the warning was about was that the children of Israel were supposed to be careful in not replacing God with other things, with other gods around them. It's interesting. We have to be careful that we, as a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, we may be fine on the outside, but we have to be careful what we have on the inside, the things that we hide, the things that we keep to ourselves, the things, the thoughts, the motives, the things that we know are against what the Bible teaches, but yet they are there in our life. So be very careful, my friend. In Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So those things that we plant now, we will reap. Those little idols that we allow in our life will become larger and larger and will try to replace God for our attention. It says in Matthew that where your heart is, there, or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So be careful. Those things that we spend a lot of time for, that we work for, those things will be what our heart will want to go after. And we have to make sure that our heart is in the right place, that our treasure is in the right place. It's interesting that these idols don't only affect us. They also affect those around us. I want to read a very interesting place. This is found in Psalms chapter 106 in the English Bible. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here. In the English Bible, it's Psalm 106, verse 35. "But they," meaning the children of Israel, "were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols." So the children of Israel learned the works of the people around them, the worldly heathen around them. They learned their works. They learned to serve the idols. "And they served the idols," and it goes on, it says, "which were a snare unto them." These idols were a snare. They were a stumbling block. They tried to stop the children of Israel from the true God. And that's what the idols had accomplished. But yet, it goes on. It goes on beyond that. It says, "Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto idols." So I know for us as youth, we don't have sons or daughters yet. But remember that the little things that we allow in our life, those idols that are in our heart that we give place to, they not only affect us, but they affect those around us. And they will even affect innocent little children. And my prayer is that none of us would sacrifice our own sons and daughters because of idols that we have in our own life. That we won't sacrifice people around us for things that we have within ourselves. So finally, how can we keep ourselves from these idols? It says in 1 John 5:21 that we, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So how do we do that? Well, the first step in keeping ourselves from idols is to identify any in our life. Any idols in our life need to be identified so that we know that they are there. Oftentimes, things in our life we say are not important to us, but yet once they are taken away, once we leave them, then looking back, we see how much we were involved in that, how much it meant in our life. And so it's important that we are open to the Holy Spirit, that we're open to the promptings of things in our life, so that we can recognize the idols and turn away from them and truly serve God and truly obey Him as the in the place of the first commandment, which is to love Him with all of our heart, mind, and strength. It's interesting that as we examine our heart, the Holy Spirit will prompt us. But yet we have to be careful that we don't quench the Holy Spirit. We don't quench Him in our own lives, in our temple of the Holy Ghost. If we remember back to Matthew, Jesus came into Jerusalem. He came into the temple. The temple was His house. But yet what did He do when He came in? He came in and He drove out the things that were replacing Him in His temple. He drove out the money changers and the merchants and the other people in the temple that had changed His temple into something it was not meant to be. So in our own lives, we have to invite Jesus, invite the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to come in and convict us of things that even though we might be looking like the temple of God on the outside, that on the inside we don't have these small things that turn it into something that it was not meant to be. As we go through our lives, it's actually interesting to learn about a person. You can learn a lot by observing what they wear, how they walk, how they dress, what kind of car they drive. You can find out little things about little idols that somebody might have by turning on their radio or opening their CD player, seeing what's inside, looking at what's on their computer. What do they have in their email? What's on them? These are indications of things that can preoccupy a person so much that it displaces God from their life. So finally, it might be interesting that in flying, if a pilot flies along in an airplane and flies into a cloud where he cannot see in front of him, the average time of him entering the cloud before he ends up in a spiral heading towards a crash into the ground is about 60 seconds. If he enters into that cloud and does not rely on his gauges, his instruments in front of him to keep him flying straight and true, he will end up within about 60 seconds spiraling towards the ground. It's true for those of us in our Christian life as well. We are going throughout life. We are in the storm clouds of the world around us, the clouds that are trying to take our attention off of where we are going, trying to make us focus on the things around us, the fame, the wealth, the money, the clothes, the cars, whatever it might be of around us, take our focus off of God and allow those things to become more important in our life. But if we maintain our focus on Jesus Christ and who He is, then those things around us will lose sight of them. They will end up in their proper place, and we will safely be able to travel through to the goal of being with Jesus Christ. My friend, it is the last time. That is a statement. That is a fact. Little children, it is the last time. For those who are ready to meet Jesus Christ, we can look forward to the time when He will come back. We can look forward to the time when we will meet him. But for those who have little things tucked away in their lives, in their heart, little things that they keep to themselves, that they displace God with, then when Jesus will come, when you will be called home to heaven, God might not be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Instead, he might look at a temple on the outside, but inside being merchants and money changers, thieves, and he might have to say, thou unfaithful servant. So friend, it's important that, as it says in Luke 21, verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day, meaning the day of Christ's return, come upon you unawares, that it comes when we are not expecting it. My hope is that when Jesus Christ comes again, because it is the last time and because he is coming soon, that each one of us would be ready to meet him, ready to meet him with himself being first in our life, with there being nothing else in our life that vies or that tries to get in place or replace God in our life. In Joshua 24, verse 15, it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You can serve many small idols in our life and God. We can be professional at hiding these idols. We can be professional at keeping them quiet within ourselves so that perhaps only we know about those things. Or we can choose to serve God. We can choose to give him our heart. We can invite him and his Holy Spirit to come and cleanse us of those things that separate us from having God being first and most important in our life. Amen.